Just for the record, Mr. Brown, get your full name, where you were born, and your approximate age.
Alright. And then get a handy dandy little film slot there and everything. You don't need that? Well, my full name is William Joseph Brown Jr. I was born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. My approximate age is
Born in Louisiana.
Right. Were you
raised there until you moved to Kingsville?
No, I was raised there until I was age 17. From that time on, when I was 17 years old, I joined the Navy. In fact, I joined the Navy the 27th of January 1955. Right. And the rest of that time, I spent in the Navy.
Did you retire?
Until August 8, 1974. That's when I retired from the Navy.
What year did you come to Kingsville?
1962.
62. And you remember that day pretty vividly?
Not really. All I know is it was hot when I come in. Somewhere around June or something like that.
When you got your orders to come to Kingsville, did you have any idea where Kingsville was? What to expect?
No way, shape, or form. Didn't even know where Kingsville was. It's somewhere in Texas.
How did you find Kingsville after you got here? Was it a city or a town that you could relate to? Or did it take some getting used to it?
No, they didn't say close to Corpus Christi. I said, when I come here, I came here on the Continental Trail with us from California. See, because I came from Hawaii here. I was stationed in Hawaii for about 4 years. No, I take it back, about 2 years. And then sent me straight here. And I stayed here in the Navy from 1962 to 1965. And, of course, I hadn't already bought a home here. Me and Ms. Brown got married and all that thing, you know. And in 1965, they shipped me out of here again. Of course, Ms. Brown and the girl stayed behind, you know. But I went overseas, and I stayed overseas till 1972. And then I came back here. So that was my second tour of duty here in Kingsville. Quite naturally, my family's here, right? So I had to come back home, right?
Well, you had to come back home, but was Kingsville where you wanted to come?
It had to be where I wanted to come because my family was here. So this, what you're sitting in right now, was here. This was home in 1972 when I come back here. See, because we bought this in 1963.
Coming from Louisiana, where you have a very large black population.
Oh, yes.
Blacks were involved politically, economically. When you first came to Kingsville, how did Kingsville shape up, match up to your home state, your hometown?
There was no comparison, right? Naturally, New Orleans is just like Houston. See? In fact, a lot of things in Houston is very similar to New Orleans. For instance, you got parishes, right? Well, that's where a lot of things that you have in Houston got that from New Orleans, because a lot of people move from New Orleans to Houston. But when you talk about Kingsville, you can't make no comparison.
How about the involvement, though? When I talk about comparison, were blacks in Kingsville when you got here politically aware?
No, what I wouldn't say politically aware. They were just wasn't politically motivated. I put it like that. That's the only way I can put it. Because when you talk, anytime you talk about politics in the black community here in Kingsville, I just don't see it. Unless their political attachment would be to some candidate running for office, like that. But as far as a black representative of the black community, I would say no. Now, how well that runs, I don't know.
How about being accepted as an outsider? Many, many people in Kingsville, all down through the years,
right,
would view Navy guys as guys that would just come in here and grab up the girls, take off. Were you accepted being
no,
a Navy?
No, I would, because, just like you said, because of being a Navy man, that's why I was not accepted in the community, or like as if you would, you know, somebody would come here that had family here. It's a lot of difference.
Did you experience any prejudices because of that?
Well, it's hard to say prejudice because, you know, black people gonna be black. I don't care where you go, and you can't really say it that way because it's not that, you know. But also, it's in such a way where, you know, if an outsider is an outsider, and you know how in any little small town like that, wherever you go, an outsider is going to be viewed that way. Don't care how hard, you know, you try not to, but that's the way it is. And it'll take them a while for them to accept you if you decide to move there. But my problem, I was a Navy man. See, that was the whole key. That's the key to the whole thing, being a Navy man. And just like you said, a Navy man would view as one of these type of people that would come here and sweep up the girls and take them away and all that kind of stuff. And that created a negative attitude in the community among the young men, because all the girls was being taken away. There was nothing left to marry or have a girlfriend or whatever, right? So, you're right in that respect.
During your orientation, when you first shipped into Kingsville, I'm assuming you had orientation, the base commander.
Oh, yes.
Met you guys, you had briefings or told you a little bit about the community, places to avoid. Was there any talk about the quarters in those orientations, the black part of Kingsville?
You mean the black community?
Black community.
No, because they wasn't even aware of what was in the black community. They didn't know. They did not know. Besides, when I came here, you didn't have Kingsville was at least 5 times smaller than what it is now. 3-lane highway. No Highway 77. That didn't even exist. So, I don't even remember when they built it, because I wasn't even here. When I came back, he had Highway 77. Everything that came through Kingsville at that time came straight down 6th Street. 6th Street was the main street here in Kingsville. 14th Street wasn't the main street. Doesn't look better now, but I mean, 6th Street was your passageway north and south. Going down to Brownsville.
Do you recall any of the black businesses that were here when you first got here?
Yeah. Major or minor?
Both.
Okay. Both. Major was Mr. Andrews. He had Andrews Cleaners. That was major. Minor was the really small places like Day and Night, Thunderbird. I know you remember that. And what this place. What was this place called? It wasn't called the Acapulco. It was called something else.
Paradise?
No, it wasn't called Paradise either. It was called something else. Oh, I can't remember. Some of the names it done had was Paradise and Acapulco. I know that. But that other name it was called before that, I can't remember. But that was Mr. Slim Nichols' place. Remember that when he was a little boy?
But those are the basic ones that
you right. And it's and right now, even though the major one is gone, and they are still the basic one, well, which is only two now. At least you had three then. You know, but now I mean it's all the good times is gone. You might as well forget them. Right?
What happened? What do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. The people that had the talent for running a business and knowing how to run a business and getting along with the people when they run these businesses like that, all of these people have moved away from Kingsville due to the atmosphere that you had here. You know? And it's really very hard to run a small business like that here in this community with the type of attitude these people have here. You know, they don't, they're the kind of people that look like they don't want anything and they don't want to see nobody else with anything as far as a business, small business is concerned. That's my, of course, that's my opinion. I could be wrong. I don't know. But you had Mr. Andrews, since he was the major one at the time, he had the cleaners, he had the barbershop, and all that. And I believe even at that time, there was another little place. We even had a little small truck store over here at one time, I think. Right there where Mr. Andrews' mother's house is built. It used to be a truck store or something right there on that corner. Of course, that was before my time, but I mean, people have talked about it.
In summing up what you said, basically blacks hurt themselves in
right.
Businesses and see, opportunities.
With the type of attitude that they have here, seems to me it's hard for them to come together like they should be. You know, in a community, once everybody comes together, you can get a whole lot of things done in a short period of time.
But they can't come together.
They will not come together because of, I don't know what the reason is, but it's just not there. It's a kind of like a dog-eat-dog world. I don't know why, whether it's one. You okay? I don't know whether it's one begrudging the other, or I don't know what it is.
How did you find the race relations in Kingsville when you first got here?
When I first got here, that's what was so surprising. The people got along good. I wouldn't say very, very good, but they got along good. And the thing is, with the attitudes and everything that the blacks had, the blacks kept to themselves and the rest of the people kept to themselves. See, at one time, there was you had more of a white-black ratio than you had black, white, and Hispanics. You understand what I'm saying now?
I heard it.
The most of the Hispanics you had here when I came here was out on the King Ranch. What the reason was, I do not know. But that's the way it was. But over a period of time, say 10 or 15 years, that changed. Your ratio of people became even out. Blacks, Hispanics, and whites, if that's the way you want to put it. And the ratio is even greater now. But of course, you got more Hispanics than you got anybody else.
Let's go back just a moment to the black businesses. Do you think that desegregation hurt black businesses?
When you said segregation, now, are you talking about that event in history, or are you talking about the separation that the people imposed on themselves?
Well, I'm asking desegregation. When the laws were passed and made it so that blacks could, at that point, go to HEB and shop for their groceries and not have to stay at Campbell's grocery store. They could go to Super S to shop. By desegregating, did black businesses lose some of its economic base to those other groups out there?
You know, you have a point there. Yes and no, because that there is a loaded question. Because when I got here in Kingsville, when you say segregation, it really wasn't that bad here. Surprising as it may seem, it was not that bad. Now, maybe it's because each community kept to themselves. I don't know. Maybe that was the rule of society. I don't know. But all I know is everybody got along. Some of the people was even kind of like buddy-buddy, so to speak, at that time. There wasn't a lot of things that was happening elsewhere was not here, because they didn't have that kind of problem here. It may have been, but it wasn't on a large scale. It was minor, kind of like something minor, a minute. You know, you would never hear about it if it did happen, right?
You didn't see the same problems in Kingsville that you were seeing in parts of Louisiana,
right?
In terms of race,
right?
And what you're saying is you're not really sure why we didn't see those problems down here,
right? Because of its location and everything, you know, putting everything in perspective, I don't know why it wasn't that way.
How about on the base? How were race relations there?
Well, you got to remember at that time, you said when you talk about military personnel, you got to remember the military would be a lot different than it is out here. In the military, you had to be a certain way, black and white, to even come into the picture. Of course, that stigma was there. It was there. Don't you get me wrong. But they had to overlook these things in order to get along with one another. Rule of the thumb, you follow the regulation. If you can't do that, you would never be allowed to advance. So, like I said, the stigma was there, but it had to be kind of shoved in the corner, so to speak. Right?
Who were some of the, we're talking about politics and leadership for communities. Who are some of the people that come to mind in Kingsville during those early years, your early years, that were participating in that whole process?
Okay. Here again, you said, we talked about politics, right? It's really not politics. You would say who would stand out as a leader in the black community. That would sound much better, you know, because you can't say politics. It was bad. Okay. Somebody like Reverend Hancock. Ask these two ladies. What were they? You know the house down there where down there by the projects, that White House that's on the corner there. What was that lady's name at all that property?
Schuford.
Yeah, Miss Ida Lee Schuford and her mother were. They were those kind of people. Their name stood for something, as far as being leaders, quote unquote, in the community. Of course, Mr. Andrews and the people that had the day and night, you know, and that kind of thing, you know. Well, they are the people that, that their name stood out because they were doing something in the community to help the community. So politics, no, not politics.
Did you know of any feuds in the community? Were any factions feuding families, individuals? Or was it a pretty cohesive community?
It may have been, I don't know. But as far as I know, there wasn't any. Like I say, you grew up here, you know more about it than I do. But I didn't know of any at that time.
You obviously liked Kingsville after you were retired. You made your home here.
Well, I had to grow to like it. I put it like that too. Since this was home, I had to do something to convince myself that Kingsville was the place for me. And eventually I did, or else I wouldn't be here right now. But I had to grow to like it because my interests, as far as my interests were concerned, it just really wasn't here. It didn't even match my lifestyle.
The girls were in school.
You're talking about my stepdaughter?
Yes, Mama and Geraldine. Uh-huh. How would you, looking back at education in Kingsville, do you think that their education, did they get a good education? Did Douglas School educate them and then on to the high school? Or
I'm glad you mentioned Douglas School. Glad you forgot all about that. You sure you're okay? Want some water?
Put this on pause.
But getting back to what we was talking about, Douglas School. Most of the kids around it, it was a community school. It was good. We had a lot of kids that went through Douglas School, including yourself, right? I remember some of the things that, in a sense, it was good. But in the other sense, it was bad because it was kind of like separated from the rest of the world, so to speak. It was segregated. And when the laws came out, and everything, of course, they closed Douglas School down. They didn't have any more need for it. No need for Douglas School anymore. But the community failed for the simple reason that they could have took the same little school and made it into a community center like the rest of the people here. Now, at that time, like we had Douglas School for most of the black kids, there were other schools here in Kingsville where they had the Spanish kids went. And there were schools where the white kids went. Yeah, I found that out later because I didn't know it at the time. Because like I said, in my way of seeing things and everything, those kind of things didn't look like it existed because everybody got along so well. But when the laws came out and everything, they shut a lot of them little schools down because the focus was Memorial, I believe. Memorial right there on King Street. All the kids went there. I think you had three different schools there at one time.
Yes.
You had grade school, junior high, and high school. That's where King High, that was part of King High. Part of that was King High School. Right?
When your stepgirls started to go venture up and out into the high school, you hear them complain much about the treatment of black students at the high school. Because it's around 68, we were really ahead of other parts of the state and the country. But still, it was something that we had to move into slowly, gradually. Did you see many problems within the family?
No, nothing I remember. It may have been there. I don't know. I never hear the girls talk about it that much. They probably did have problems. I don't know.
Let's talk a little bit. Let's switch a little bit and talk about the church. The church has always been a pillar in the black community.
Okay.
You got here. Were the churches that are here now here? And if so, were they stronger than they are now?
When I got here, when you talk about churches, the only churches that I was aware of was King Star Scotch Chapel. And as far as being stronger, they were stronger then than they are now. For some reason or another, the church leadership is not as strong as it used to be. I don't know why. It has nothing to do, to me, it has nothing to do with the pastors. It has to do with the organization of the church itself, each one of the churches. Now, when I got here, I only knew of two churches. But now, present time, you have a variety of churches. You got King Star, Scotch Chapel, you got AME, and there's two more churches. Yeah, I can't, I know where they are, but I can't think of the name of it. And, in other words, it's more churches here now than it was in Geneva. You have at least five or six, right? The Holiness Church, the other one is First something, I believe. First Baptist Church, down from Kingstar.
Okay, around the corner there.
Yes.
Friendship
Baptist Church, yeah.
There's a little, you're thinking of the Holiness Church down in
Doddridge.
Right,
right.
St. Paul,
and then. Okay, St. Paul instead of Amy. That's what I was thinking.
I always like to ask this question because growing up in Kingsville, I knew for a fact that people in the community, and especially our elders, could spank us, could whip us, chastise us if they saw us doing wrong.
Right.
Has that changed in the community? Is the community a part of raising the children, all of the children?
Community at that time, yes. Today, no. It's not even the same. But you got to remember also at this time, I mean, the laws for the state of Texas have changed. You cannot do what you used to do. But really, that's not an excuse. Because we still should be up to date on things that can and cannot be done as far as kids are concerned. And all the thing I see now, there's not a whole lot of role models. Because basically, what kids do nowadays, they gonna do what they see you doing because they believe that's what's right. So, and it has nothing to do with them being taught what is right or what is wrong. They gonna go by what they see you do. And the reason why that happened is because they believe that what they see you do is right, even though it might not be right. Because in most cases, it's wrong, right? And that's another thing. Blacks, that's another thing about leadership in the black community. The blacks don't play a large role in that respect nowadays as where, like the question you was asking me about chastising them, as where back in them days they did. You know, and I don't know what the reason is. It's probably an economical problem. I don't know. But it seems like it's out of control or something. I don't know. Family unit. What we're talking about here is the family unit is not as strong as it used to be. That's basically what it is, right?
And you're saying it's definitely changed. You feel like it's changed.
Yes. Whether it's good or bad, it still changed.
I was just about to ask you, for the worse?
Well, I'll let you decide that. You know, it's just not like it as good as it used to be.
We look at the problems that plague all of the communities across the country. And our little town here is no different. We have drugs. We have teenagers breaking and entering, being charged with burglary. What do you think that the community, if we could change the way we interact, what do you think it would be? What could we do to help the young people in Kingsland?
Okay. As far as the black community is concerned, to me,
question was before that tape ran out there, was what is it that we can do
to change that situation, right?
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, the churches need to get together and decide on purchasing Douglas School and turning it into a community center. And when they do this, that will be a starting point to change the attitudes of the kids in the black community. The reason is, they need a place to go. They do not have a place to go. The majority of them hang on a corner, down there, around, day and night, and places like that. Douglas School can be turned into a great community center. Some of the things they have at Douglas School, they don't need them. It's not important. Softball, stuff like that, that's not important. That's not going to help them for life. You need programs to help them for life. You know, you need interaction amongst people, getting along, you know, communicating with people and developing things like team play, you know, teaching them, you know, as a team you can get more done than as an individual kind of thing. You understand what I mean? That's the kind of things these kids need to learn. Some of them probably know it, some of them don't. But in order for them to experience anything, they have to be taught. There's nobody around to teach them these things. Douglas School can be turned into a great community center. But it's going to take some kind of leadership in the community to do that. And the only way I know of it for the start out is to get the churches behind it. The churches all together can purchase Douglas School as a community center from the school board. But right now, the way Douglas School is now, it's just being leased. Why lease it for that amount of money when they can turn around and buy it from the school board? But here again, nobody wants to come together. When nobody comes together, nothing happens. You got all of these differences of opinions in the bodies of each one of the churches, and nobody wants to move, and it all has to do with money. They can raise the money for whatever they want to raise it for if they would come together. Come together first and then do what you got to do. That's never going to happen.
Is the community still segregated, do you think? Desegregation was law. But do we still segregate ourselves?
Yes, we do. We don't want to change over here. That's the reason why we are still segregated over here. We can change if we want to. If we would allow ourselves to change, everything would turn out to be good in the black community. But until that happens, there will be no change over here. Third Street is a good example. They could have had Third Street done a long time ago. If everybody would have come together and rallied around the people that was responsible for trying to get it paved. And the reason why I know that the people didn't come together is because I was in there, you know, I signed my name in there. I was trying to help to get it paved too. They could have had Third Street paved. But certain individuals didn't want it to happen because they thought that money should have been spent somewhere else. The rest of the streets was already paved. Why mess it up? Get that one paved, and then when everything else needs to be done around it, do all of them instead of just one. I can mention some names, but I'm not. I'm not going to do it. You got some boogers in this community, and as long as they're there, they are not going to let anything take place in this community because they don't want it done.
We're talking about black people?
We are talking about in the black community.
Don't want them done because they don't want to see them done, or they don't think it's in the best interest of the community?
They claim they don't think it's in the best interest of the community. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, they don't want it done because they think that money should be spent somewhere else. First of all, they got to get the money. And they ain't going to never get the money because they're going to let the man take the money and spend it somewhere else. Every time they go up there, arguing with City Hall sitting there laughing at them because they won't come together. And that's what it is. There's been money sent from the government to the county and the city and all that, for these things to be done in the black community, but the black community never did have the gumption enough to come together to go up there and get that money. It's been there all the time. So they took the money and used it in other communities rather than in the black community. And it's going to keep on being done that way as long as we sit over here and just run off at the mouth and not do anything about it.
Let me call some names.
Well, wait a minute. Let's not call names. Let's talk about the problem first.
I think you misunderstood me. We're talking about leadership in Kingsville.
Okay.
And you may, after I say this, you may still opt to not comment on it. But when we talk about NAACP, we think of Woody Hall.
Yes.
Okay. When I mention the name Woody Horn, what comes to mind?
Woody Horn is the only president of NAACP that I know of since I've been here in Kingsville. And I've been here living in this house here for almost 30 years. Well, 26 years, I mean, close to 30. And he's the only one that I know of that's been the president of NAACP. But the man can't last forever, you know. And the reason why he stayed in there is because he's the only one that would take the interest to be there. Every time they get ready to vote for officers and all this kind of stuff, they can't come together and decide on anything. So Brother Horn has to stay in there to keep the NAACP going. After he's gone, who's going to run it? They fighting on who they think should be president. And as long as they act that way, they ain't going to get nothing done. Talk a ticket outsider to come in here and be the president. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, what about Will Thompson? Does that name ring a bell?
Will Thompson. Well, see, the park that we have, ain't it? That's who the park was named after. These are one of the people that, in the community, where their name stood out back in them days. Where certain people, certain individuals in the community, their names stood out because they cared about what their community stood for. But nowadays, you don't have that. If they are there, how come they're not well known? You got to get out amongst the people and let them know that you care. I care about what goes on in my community. When a politician up there for City Hall get ready to run for office, what do? He come out here campaign, right? We could have leadership the same way in our community if the blacks would get out there amongst the people. Right? It can be done.
Mr. Mack.
Mr. Who?
Mr. Mack.
Yeah. Reverend Mack, yeah.
Past president of NAACP.
Oh, he was? See, I didn't know that. This is what I'm talking about. This is what we are talking about here. Let the people know what's going on. Go ahead. That will cut you off.
Okay. But nothing comes to mind. You weren't aware of him being president.
No.
At that time. Okay.
Nobody knew. When you think of NAACP, everybody think Mr. Horn. And that's it. Nobody else. You see what I'm trying to say? Like I was telling you before about not being aware of things. It's not that it was mostly because I didn't know. And whether they advertised it or not, I don't know. Another thing about things that happen at NAACP, first thing they do instead of them, you know, passing the word amongst the churches and things like that so the people will know what's going on. What do? They jump up, put it in the paper. How many people read the paper?
Very few.
You see, the word is in the paper, but everybody don't get the word. Right? The gesture of putting it in the paper is nice. The rest of society here in Kingsville, they would know because they would read the paper. But here in the black community, nobody knows. Very few blacks read the paper. You go over it. So, right, look, press that white button on that fan. Is that better?
Okay. What about in the 60s, late 60s, we were in the height of the Vietnam War.
Okay, Vietnam, okay.
Was in Kingsville, is there any awareness about what was going on, you think, during that time?
Well,
did people discuss it? Did they talk about
the height? Well, the height of the Vietnam War. I really couldn't speak for that because I was involved in it myself. I wasn't here, so I really couldn't answer that question truthfully. Because I think the height of it was 67, 68, 69, right? I really couldn't answer that truthfully because I was in the combat zone.
On your return back to Kingsville, mm-hmm. after serving there, were people informed, you think, once you got back here? Did they know why you went to the NAT? Why soldiers were going there? Or were they oblivious to what was going on?
Well, to tell you the truth, I think it was more oblivious than anything else. Or they really didn't care or something, I don't know. The kind of attitude that they had, why go over there in that country? You ought to stay over here and do something here. That was the attitude. So I figured they really didn't know the reason why they were, we were over there. And if you want to talk about Vietnam was more of a political war than anything else. My opinion, me, I don't think no politician should have been over there in the combat zone to begin. Military people is the one supposed to fight the war, not the civilians. In other words, people in government shouldn't have been messing around over there in a foreign country. Don't care what they
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Kingsville being a railroad town. Was that obvious when you got here?
Yes, it was. Most of the men that was financially stable, or so to speak,
Yeah, you can really tell it because they're the ones that would be talking about events that took place, you know, and at the child place and stuff like that. It was obvious then. Still is, really. So what you're saying?
You can see the prominence in the community from those men working for the railroad.
When you say see prominence, what do you mean by that?
We're talking middle class status, maybe.
You mean as far as poor people, middle class, and upstanding, right?
Was Kingsville better off than some of the other communities, say, parishes in Louisiana, in terms of economic status because of the railroad?
No. Status that was here then and now, because of the railroad, it really don't have that much impact. Because if it did, you would see the community would look three times better than what it does. As far as residential areas are concerned. And it just don't have it. And all these people on the railroad like that, making the kind of money that they make, the community and the residents should look 10 times better than what it does.
What do you think happened? Because here are
people. Ego. It's an ego trip.
Group of men, as you say, making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year.
I don't know about that. But $3,500 every 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, 2 or 3 days later, you're broke. Something's wrong with that. Something's very wrong with that. And then after 2 or 3 days after you know, spend all that money, then you go and ask somebody, can I borrow $10? Something's wrong with that. It really.
What did the railroad men, what were they doing with that money? I mean, what was in Kingsville that a man could get $3,500 and 2 or 3 days later be broke?
That's a good question. I'd like to find that out myself. But I mean, in the black community, that's a fact of life. I don't know why, but it's just that way. I don't even make that in 1 month because I'm a disabled veteran. But if I was able to make that kind of money in 1 month's time, I'd be sitting hog heaven. $7,000 a month, you better know I'd be all right then. Yeah. I'd be real good.
Did you know you were in the black community from just looking at the houses? Could you tell by just looking at the landscape, the housing, the architecture? A lot of people can say, I'm in black
town. When I first came here or right now?
Yeah, when you first came.
When I first came here, no, because you didn't even know where a black community was. You couldn't even tell where it was. See, because of the geometric location, you didn't even know it existed. But even now, you still don't. I mean, somebody come to Kingsville, you still don't know where it's at. It hasn't moved. In fact, instead of it being better, it's got worse.
Does it stand out, you think, from other parts of the community in Kingsville? It's, for example, if we were to go in parts of Hispanic town, could you tell that you've just left a black neighborhood and moved into gone into a Hispanic or Anglo?
Yes, you can.
What gives it away?
The condition of the community. It's then went down. And then everything in the other communities is nice and clean cut and better and everything. They paint the houses, the whole works. And it all has to do with the community coming together. If one keep the residents in good condition, and the next one, and the next, it goes right on down the line. But if you got somebody there that just don't care about it and don't keep it up, what happens? That's an eyesore in the community. And majority of the black community is that way. For some reason, I don't know why.
Well, we jumped from politics, religion, family, military life. Let me ask you, are there any things, if there was one thing that you could let people know that might listen to this tape next week, next month, next year, know about the black community in Kingsville, what would it be?
One particular thing. To let them know about the black community. It was, one thing I can say, it'd be a good place to retire. This majority of people is up at that age where they're, you know, it's not, it's a type of community that's not for the young person, I'll put it like that. It's for more or less older people. Because, you know, when you get a certain age, you become set in your ways. And when you get set in your ways, you want to live a certain kind of lifestyle, right? And this lifestyle in this community is not for the young people. There's no way it's going to be that way for them. The community would have to do a lot of changes in order for it to be that way. In other words, if somebody wanted to come and move to Kingsville because of the atmosphere in the community, the community itself would have to have some drastic changes. In other words, something to attract them to this community. And the way it stands now, there's nothing to attract anybody here. Right? There's nothing here.
So it would be...
There's no economical base. There's no... there's nothing. There's a lot... That's another reason why a lot of them is moving away instead of coming to...